Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Let's dive into this breaking news from Saudi Arabia. They're considering taking yuan for oil instead of dollars. And now when they're dealing with China, but China, obviously a huge customer, not just now, but let's think about how big a customer China will be in 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years. And this could be the start of the dollar's demise. And I'm not saying the dollar is going to lose its reserve currency status tomorrow or in a year, but when you look back at global reserve currencies, they don't lose their status overnight because it's a network type of system. It just happens slowly. I think I might have been having this conversation with Jim Rogers the other night, but we said that when a country loses reserve currency status, or when a currency loses world reserve status, it happens like that old bankruptcy quote, very, very slowly and then all at once. And I think that's kind of how you see, that's how we saw it play out with the British pound. It started happening in the 1920s. And then Bretton Woods, bam, all at once, right? And maybe that's how it's going to work with the United States dollar. Starts losing its global status slowly, gradually in the 2020s. And then maybe something happens, 2030, 2035, or bam, it loses it. The status all at once. But let's get into this article here. So from the Wall Street Journal, so this isn't some random blog or anything, Saudi Arabia considers accepting yuan instead of dollars for Chinese oil sales. Talks between Riyadh and Beijing have accelerated as Saudi unhappiness grows with Washington. And I think a lot of this has to do with Afghanistan as well, guys, because if you remember kind of the premise of the petrodollar is that OPEC and more specifically Saudi Arabia would price their oil in dollars. And what we gave them is the military. We said, we'll protect you if that's our end of the bargain. And your end of the bargain is you price your oil in dollars, regardless of which country you're selling it to. And so, I mean, put yourself in the position of Saudi Arabia. If you would have seen what happened in Afghanistan and you're thinking, okay, well, their end of the bargain, meaning the United States, is that we get their military. Do I really want their military? And this is nothing against the our people that are in the military right now. Nothing against the people, but the leaders. You know, do we want that management system, if you will? It's like looking at a corporation to a certain degree. You know, you're not saying if management is absolutely terrible, it's not really a knock against the individual workers. It's just saying, hey, I don't want to invest in this company. It's a bad move because their management is absolutely horrible. And I think that Saudi Arabia could be looking at the United States the same way, saying their management is horrible. Therefore, they can't uphold their end of the bargain. So why should we uphold our end of the bargain? And I think that has a lot to do with what you're seeing play out here, along with several other factors. So Saudi Arabia is in active talks with Beijing to price its what? Who writes these things? My goodness, come on, guys. This is the Wall Street Journal here. How can they have this blatant of a typo in the first sentence? Jeez. But okay, so I'll have to edit their sentence for them. It says Saudi Arabia is in active talks with Beijing to price some of its oil sales to China in yuan. People familiar with the matter said a move that would dent the U.S. dollar's dominance of global petroleum market and mark another shift by the world's top crude exporter towards Asia. And I would include Russia in there as well. You might not like it, but it is what it is. What's happening with Russia and our response to it is going to be pushing Russia closer to Asia and, in my opinion, Saudi Arabia as well. And what we really need to think about is moving forward the next 10, 20 years, who holds what's most important? And I think that you can talk about dollars, you can talk about gold, you can talk about all these things, but at the end of the day, what's most important is energy. And we're looking at the, not just that, but commodities. I just did a whiteboard video today, you guys can probably see in the back here, on a commodity super cycle. And you've got to start asking yourself, okay, who's got all the commodities and who's willing to extract those commodities and how much leverage will that give them moving forward? Not just in the next 3 months, 6 months, but the next 5, 10, 15 years. The talks with China over yuan-priced oil on and off for the last 6 years, the article says, but has accelerated this year as Saudis have grown increasingly unhappy with decades-old U.S. security commitments to defend the kingdom. Right back to what I was saying at the beginning of the live stream. Saudis are angry over the U.S. lack of support for their intervention in the Yemen civil war and the Biden's administration attempt to strike a deal with Iran over its nuclear program. Saudi officials have said they were shocked by the precipitous U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan last year. Yeah, going exactly what we're talking about. China buys more than 25% of its oil from Saudi Arabia exports. If priced in yuan, those sales would boost the standing of the Chinese currency. That's a whole separate, interesting rabbit hole, because China pegs their currency to the dollar. So I'd have to think that through. If their currency would normally appreciate due to higher demand for yuan because they're pricing oil in yuan, how do they maintain the peg? I guess they would have to sell yuan, which they can print into the global market, if that's possible, and then lower. I have to really think that one through. That requires a whiteboard video on how specifically they manage their currency and how they maintain the peg. But the reason I'd want to go into that is to discover if there are any knock-on effects to that that could potentially affect the U.S. trade deficit and the amount of imports that we are able to receive from China, and if those imports would increase in price. So you can imagine what would happen if the yuan did appreciate, if they allowed it to appreciate significantly. Then that makes all the imports we're getting from China even more expensive, which would further exacerbate the consumer price inflation that we're dealing with right now in the United States. And you say, well, George, well, the United States will just go ahead and manufacture it then. Okay, but there's a huge delta between what we can buy it from, or what we can buy those goods from in China relative to what we can produce it. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. So as an example, let's say that in China we can buy XYZ good for $3. If they increase their currency, now it might cost $5, which would dramatically affect consumer price inflation in the United States. But we could produce it for $20. So until that price gets to $10, $12, $15, or said another way, five times higher than it already is, it's not going to be conducive, or there's not going to be an economic incentive to produce that good here in the United States, especially when you're dealing with all the complexities of the regulatory environment in the U.S., raising taxes, and basically capitalists having a target on their back from the current administration. So China has stepped, now I'm going back to the article, China has stepped up its courtship of the Saudi Kingdom. In recent years, China has helped Saudi Arabia build its own ballistic missiles, consulted on nuclear program, and began investing in Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's pet projects, such as NEOM, the futuristic city. Meanwhile, the Saudi relationship with the United States has deteriorated under Biden, who said in 2020 campaign the kingdom should be a pariah for the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. In 2018, Prince Mohammed, who U.S. intelligence authorities say ordered the killing, refused to sit in on a call with Mr. Biden and Saudi ruler King Salman last month. It also comes to the economic relationship between Saudi and the United States diminishing. And I think really what we also have to consider in this relationship between China and Saudi Arabia, or potentially Russia in the future, who knows what's happening now, is how this plays into the World Economic Forum. I mean, if you guys watched my last video, what they're talking about is really trying to not only rule the world and the global economy, but to control human beings and human evolution. My guess is there are some, I mean, you can say what you want about religious people, whether they're Muslim, Christian, etc. Obviously, there's a lot of extremists there. But I can't imagine that the Muslims nor the Christians would really want to go along with this whole Great Reset agenda if it includes transhumanism in the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I'm not saying that, you know, religion ended up, I mean, that's a personal decision that you need to make. You don't need my help on that one. But you guys get what I'm saying. There's some religious groups out there that I don't think would, where that would really jive with, to say the least. And especially in countries like Saudi Arabia, throughout the Middle East, and in Malaysia also, India, I don't see that going over too well. But we'll have to see how this plays out. Again, I think it's something that we need to take into consideration. And then, you know, when we're trying to set up a portfolio, if we're saying, okay, I don't want to be a part, or I want to hedge against the Great Reset agenda, I think you got to ask yourself which countries will most likely push back against what they're trying to achieve, meaning the global elite and the World Economic Forum. I don't know the answer to that. My guess is that the countries that will most likely push back on that are the ones that produce a lot of commodities, a lot of oil, and where they are extremely religious, regardless of what the religion is. But I don't know. I just know that it's something we need to think about and consider. And to conclude this article, they say the dynamics have dramatically changed. The U.S. relationship with Saudis has changed. China is the world's biggest crude importer. And by the way, you know, it's very likely that China will suffer another huge recession. I mean, they're doing these crazy lockdowns for their wave of the Omicron scariant, and their real estate market most likely will crash. So they're going to go through some tough times over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, who knows. But we can't just look at what's going to happen to China over the next 2 or 3 years. I think you've got to look at their trajectory over the next 10, 15, 20 years. And the thing is, with capitalism, once you get a taste of it, as far as society, the people want more. They don't want to go in reverse. They want to move forward. And you got 1.4 billion people that see what capitalism can do, and they want to improve their lot in life. They don't want to go back to some feudalistic society that's centrally planned. Although, you know, I mean, obviously there's a good argument that China is a more of a centrally planned economy than we have in the West. But you get my point. It's once they have that wave of momentum, very difficult to stop. So, you know, am I extremely bullish on their economy over the next year or two? No, of course not. Over the next 20 years, probably going to be the world's largest economy. And in the next 20 years, that means that they are going to be an even bigger consumer of energy, more specifically oil, than they are today. And that's why I think there's an even bigger incentive for them to partner with the Middle East. And by the way, neither of them benefit from the dollar being the world reserve currency. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism.